Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, May 30th, 2017. And with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I'm good. Thanks for having us.
So glad you are here. John Martellaro, how are you?
I'd be good. I'm a happy person.
Oh, I'm so happy for you. We'll get you in that speech therapy program. It's going to be great. You're going to love this.
I've been watching the Scottish TV series. I'm obsessed with the Scottish brogue.
You know, hooray for the BBC.
Yep.
Yep. Hey, so we have a couple topics that I want to hit today, but you know what? We'll see if we can actually manage that because I have a feeling you two will have plenty of opinions to share. The first topic I want to dive into is related to this case that's going on down in Florida where suspects in an extortion case are going to potentially be compelled to give up the passwords to their smartphones so that evidence can be collected from there. And what we're looking at right now is, can people really be compelled to do that? And what happens if they say, I forgot the passcode for my phone. I don't know how to get into it.
Yeah, so their attorney, the people, it's a alleged sex video extortion scheme, whatever. So the accused had four devices compromised or confiscated or seized, whatever, and they couldn't get into the iPhones. So judge said, hand over your passcode. They said, no, we're going to take our Fifth Amendment rights. And the judge said, well, no, screw you. You've got to hand them over. There's no difference between this and us and me forcing you to hand over a key to a safety deposit box. And so their attorneys came back and said, well, we forgot. Which obviously is not true, most likely not true at the very least. But the question is whether or not that's a valid defense. And I got to say right off the bat, this is not like handing over a safety deposit key. This is out of your brain.
Yeah, this is different, in my opinion, as well, from handing over a safety deposit box key. Or a padlock key, because this
or having your fingerprints taken by the cops,
right?
Or your DNA,
yep. Or your DNA, yeah, yeah. This is coming. You should not have to use your own brain to incriminate yourself. That's our judicial system has been pretty clear on this from the get go.
What's interesting is that there is existing law in this case that is protecting the defendants, as scurrilous as they are alleged to be and may be. But what's interesting to me is that when the law is set up to protect people and law enforcement wants their way, they get very annoyed when existing law designed to protect people gets in their way.
What's the existing law here, John?
I'm sorry?
What's the existing law here?
Protection against self-incrimination, which is interpreted by the courts to mean divulging something you know rather than something you have. So I keep thinking about the future when we have chips embedded in our brains, as Scott Adams has been talking about with Dilbert last week. What happens when the chip is inside us instead of in our hands with the iPhone? We have to think about how existing law could it be utilized in the future and protect people instead of chipping away at constitutional laws that are designed to protect people, as unfortunate as it is in this case. And I keep going back to Cindy Cohn, the executive director of the Electronic Frontier Foundation, who said something I will never forget. And the question in this case is, where do we draw the line? And Cindy said, it's where the people say they want the line to be drawn. So if the people, in concert with the courts and the legislature say we want to draw the line there, then law enforcement sort of has to kind of roll with it. As unfortunate as it is in this case, seeking law enforcement action against extortionists,
you know,
alleged.
I totally understand how frustrating it is when you have evidence as the court or as law enforcement that you really want to collect, but there's a legal barrier in the way. And I mean, of course, it's frustrating because you know that evidence that you want is just outside your grasp, mm-hmm. and that's frustrating. Of course, that totally sucks. But the other side of that is, if we take our legal protections and make them into this fluid thing where they apply for some cases but not others, that's a very dangerous path to go down, because then it becomes easier and easier to say, well, in this case, that doesn't apply. And that's just not a place we should go. So sometimes we just need to accept that we're not going to be able to collect certain pieces of evidence, because that would undermine the laws and protections we already have in place.
There's a practical side of this too. Let's say that you actually forgot your passcode. Let's say that you want to comply with the investigation against you.
Ooh, good point.
As a matter of fact, let's just make it for funsies. You're innocent. And mm-hmm. you want your device open because your device is going to prove your innocence. But you forgot your passcode. Because guess what? People actually do forget their passcodes. People do forget mm-hmm. their passwords. It happens all the time. There's a good portion of the people listening to this show right now who have had friends and family members come to them for help because they've lost their passwords or their passcodes. What do I do? Right? And you want to hand it over, and you can't hand it over because you forgot it. And now you're going to be sent to jail for something you forgot?
How do you prove someone has forgotten their passcode? Right.
How do you
prove that's mentioned in the article that we're talking about. The judge has to size up the situation. How long has it been since you accessed it last?
Yeah,
this morning you were accessing information and you were talking on the phone, then that could suggest that it was only hours ago that you logged on to your phone. But that's pretty weak.
I have family and friends that have reset their smartphone passcode, and within an hour, they don't remember what they reset it to.
Yeah.
And these are mm-hmm. intelligent people that have good memories, but they're doing other things and they changed the passcode and it was just out of their mind. It was just gone.
Listen, I want to make this clear. My frustration and brain outrage on this particular topic is not out of some defense for these particular accused.
Same here. We all agree on that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, these folks may or may not. They are, of course, assumed guilty, innocent until proven. Oops. Dead giveaway.
Oops-a-daisy.
They're assumed innocent until proven guilty, and I want them to have their due process. But it's the principle here that I'm getting uppity about, and I don't like this presumption of law enforcement to have access to our stuff because they want it. If there was a way for law enforcement to be able to get to this sort of thing without A, forcing ourselves to incriminate ourselves, mm-hmm. and B, without also meaning that all of the bad guys out there could possibly get to our stuff too, I would absolutely and positively want them to have it, because I am a law-abiding citizen and I support the laws of this country more often than not, far more often than not. But we can't. People should not have to be, should not be forced to incriminate themselves.
You know, what interests me, Brian, is this issue of contempt. If there is interpreted case law and constitutional law that protects the citizen in this case, then there should be an extension to that law that preserves its intent. For example, you could say if the judge thinks that you were lying about forgetting and sentences you to jail time for contempt, there ought to be a time limit. The judge can't keep you there indefinitely. Otherwise, it's sort of like in the old days in England when you got sent to jail until you paid your debts. And since you were in jail, you couldn't pay your debt. So you stayed in jail. So it's kind of a catch-22.
The reality is that someone can be held indefinitely for contempt.
Yes,
they can. True. Right. So one would expect that a just society and legislature would pass a law that says, given that we are going to by this protection, then we're going to set a limit on contempt.
There's already
cases.
A check on it, though, from the viewpoint of being able to appeal it. So there is due process one can make.
Being held in contempt. That's true. That's true, but it doesn't. It's small comfort to somebody who, in the previous example you gave, is innocent.
Right. That's true. Or mm-hmm. or how about someone who's being a journalist who's being held in contempt for their sources? That sort of thing freaks me out.
I totally get that. If I were in a situation where I had sources that I could not divulge for some article that we were working on, and ended up in a court and was ordered to give up those sources, even knowing that we're doing technology news, we're not typically talking about news that could change the world, I would not be comfortable divulging those sources. Well, I think I would end up in jail.
And it's not so far fetched. Do you remember the Apple Steve Jobs
went after iPhone
Nick DePlume from Think Secret?
Yeah.
And I was super tense about that because I very specifically felt like that case could weaken protections of the free press. And I was super tense that Apple and Steve were doing that. I had a very serious and long prolonged crisis of fandom for Apple based on that and a couple of other things that were happening at the time.
Yeah, I remember that now. Yeah,
a concerted determination plus great power are a dangerous mixture.
Oh, and enormous wealth.
Yeah, that helps too. Yeah, well, I would end up sitting in jail. I wouldn't divulge the sources.
It's easy for us to say that sitting here, isn't it?
It is, and I know what the inside jails are like, and yet I'm still sitting here saying, yeah, I would go to jail before I would divulge the sources. Yeah.
I would like to think I would too, just out of principle.
All right, well, then but, we're going to go with that.
The flip side is the kind of journalism we do doesn't generally, you know, this is all very academic for us to talk about it. This is usually involving politics, espionage, that sort of thing. And of course, this is also a conversation that's a lot safer and easier to have in the United States than in some other countries.
Right, because the likelihood, yeah. Yeah, the likelihood the court is going to make us disappear is pretty slim.
Right, at least for now.
Yeah, so we have to take it as we can get it. So basically what you're saying, Brian, is right now, if I have sources that I'm going to refuse to divulge and will end up in court, better to face that today than maybe a year or so down the road?
Yeah. Yes.
I'll work on the timing for that.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah. All right. So my take on this is that we have a real serious problem here because we may be facing a court decision that that is essentially creating a standard for whether or not people can be believed if they have forgotten a password. And that's actually pretty scary because, like you mentioned, if we have someone who's legitimately forgotten a passcode and there's exculpatory evidence on a device.
I don't know about that, Jeff. Setting a precedent on a judge's opinion based on the circumstances and the context.
That's how case law works.
Yeah, but there's so many variables down the road.
Of course there are.
But our entire judicial system is built on that.
Yeah, that's how we ended up with so much of the case law that we have today. I mean, think about having to read someone their Miranda rights. Well, it's because Miranda was the person that was arrested and wasn't made aware of their rights and ended up being forced to divulge incriminating evidence, and that led to a huge legal battle. But there are so many variables that surround arresting someone or taking someone into custody. And when do you need to read them their Miranda rights or advise them of their Miranda rights, and when do you not? But it's still case law that we have.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Et cetera, et cetera. And that's today's United States federal case law. Mini lesson for everyone. There will be a quiz later. You know what? We actually still have a little bit of time. So how about if we hop onto the other topic I was hoping we would hit today, which is the essential home. And that's not something that you're going to see on like HGN Network. it's actually a new device. So this comes from is it Andy Rubin?
Andy Rubin.
Thank you. I always have the hard time remembering his first name, but Andy Rubin, who is essentially the father of Android OS. He left Google a while ago. He's been involved in some venture stuff, and now he has this new company called Essential. And one of the things that Essential announced just today is a thing called Essential Home. And the short version is, reading the feature list of this thing, it sounds like the rumored Siri speaker that Apple potentially could introduce at Worldwide Developer Conference next week. And one of the key features of this, at least in my opinion, is that most of its artificial intelligence processing happens on the device as opposed to using a cloud-based service.
That's good. So what are they using for a knowledge base?
Don't know. This is a product that has a giant bucket full of don't know going along with it right now. There's not even a physical model they're showing off. It's just computer renders.
It really seems like this is Andy one to beat whatever Apple is supposed to do at WWDC.
It kind of feels that way to me.
It's not going to work.
It's that's possible, or maybe it will. I mean, we just don't know.
All these devices fall into the same class. They do pretty much the same thing. So you gotta kind of put your money on the big guys, because that's the only differentiating factor. They have the cloud, the infrastructure connectivity, the finances for marketing. Mm-hmm. But no one is ahead of anybody else substantially in the technology of these Echo-like devices, AIs, if you want to call them that. So where do you get your value added? How do you make a purchase decision from a company that's inexperienced and brand new and using Android, or with somebody you know and trust like Apple? I don't think Andy's got a chance.
It's hard to say. I mean, considering that this isn't even a physical device yet, it's just a product announcement. That's going to be a big uphill battle for him.
Yeah, I think the article says it's supposed to ship later this summer.
Yeah, later this summer, sometime later this year. But keep in mind, we still haven't even seen a physical product from them yet. But the fact that it has better security for your privacy, or at least is supposed to honor your privacy better than other products, and the fact that it is supposed to work with all of the services, so it doesn't lock you into a specific platform.
Is it going to have Alexa built into it? Is it going to have Google Home built into it?
Or HomeKit support?
Yeah, it definitely has HomeKit support. It has Echo support, which means Alexa. And it's going to support Google's platform as well. Well,
then LOL privacy.
You know, it's kind of funny you just hit that point, because I was thinking about the very same thing. How can you say that you're offering better privacy through this device when it's using the same services that we already know are not honoring your privacy?
It's still a home wiretap device. It's still yakking away to Amazon or Google. They're not going to be honoring any privacy.
Yeah.
So,
plus the onboard processing in a device that small can't possibly match the back-end servers of Amazon and Apple and Google.
Yeah, it's making some big claims. Yeah. And I'm just...
Well, Andy has a fairly good track record at this point.
Yeah.
Or love Android, it does mostly work. It's fine. It's insecure.
Yeah, but computational power is proportional to electrical power consumed in a device that small. Has definite limits on its computational power.
Yeah, but if he's trying to do something like what Apple's doing, where some information or a lot of information is being processed locally, but big decisions in the big databases are sitting elsewhere, then he could get away with it the same way that Apple could.
Yeah, maybe there's an elegant compromise between sensitive personal information stored locally and access to databases, as you said. Yeah, that would be cool.
You know, at least for right now, it doesn't even matter what this does in regards to our privacy. Because Andy's getting, I think, exactly what he wants. What are we talking about today? We're talking about Essential Home. Well, that's what he wants.
And he has to. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, and he knows that WWDC is next week. If Apple were to introduce this Siri speaker device, then he's already set up Essential Home to be compared directly to that device. And that's, you can't buy that publicity.
Yeah, I'll give credit, though, none of these devices look very good. The Echo is not exceptionally beautiful. The Google Home is a little rounder and cooler, but this is definitely the best looking device of its kind that we've seen. As we were talking about in the staff meeting, you know, can Apple match this or surpass this in terms of physical beauty? That'll be interesting to see.
Assuming Apple even has this device in the works.
Yeah. He can't crush Apple from the standpoint of PR once Apple does do something. But by doing this announcement now, he will rightly or wrongly keep himself from being lost in the wash after whatever Apple shows off.
So it was a very smart move to make this announcement today.
Yeah, he absolutely had to do it.
Copying Apple.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, so next Monday is the keynote presentation for Worldwide Developers Conference. Brian, you're going to be at WWDC. I'm going to be there, and Dave's going to be there with us. So we'll be watching closely to see what Apple announces, of course, and call it a hunch, but we're all going to have some pretty strong opinions about whatever it is that Apple shows us next week.
Yep.
So, listeners, that's my long-winded way of saying that you need to make sure you carve out some time all next week for our daily observation shows from San Jose, because we're going to be there at WWDC, and I have a feeling there's going to be plenty to talk about.
Yep.
And, hey, we're out of time, so we have to wrap up. John, thank you so much for being here today.
You're very welcome.
And Brian, thank you for being here as well.
Thanks for having us, man. Good times.
Good times. It's great to have both of you here. Listeners, I'm so glad that you are here as well. I missed you guys over the weekend. I'm glad we're all back. Thanks, everyone, for being here. We'll see you again tomorrow.